Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Hey, guys, listen, I want to go ahead real quick and give you guys a quick update, because a lot of people have been asking today and over the last couple days, how are we enjoying our new house? Yeah. I wish I could answer that. So what has happened? Just a quick update, because I know we've had like a dozen or so people ask Melissa and I, and here's the quick answer to that. We don't have a house yet. So we were supposed to close on our new house in Griffin this past Tuesday. That didn't happen. I'm not going to go into all the details. I'm not going to go into, anyway. Just that didn't happen. So we have all of our stuff, all of our worldly possessions are now on two moving trucks. We don't really know exactly where they are. Atlas Van Lines says that they got them. So we know that they're somewhere up in Tucker, Norcross area. We're living out of a suitcase today. I'm happy that I have a shirt. Melissa ironed this shirt and these jeans for me that came out of my suitcase this morning. If we don't move in this week, I will probably be wearing this same shirt and these jeans next Sunday. Let's pray that doesn't happen. So if you guys will be praying, we are praying that, I want to ask you guys very specifically, pray that the person who is buying our home in Oxford gets the one little single document that they need to close on buying our house, and we can close on Tuesday morning. That is our very specific prayer. Amen? Will you guys all agree with us that you'll be praying specifically that we can close Tuesday morning so we can move into our new house on Thursday? That is our very specific prayer need of you guys. We're asking God to do some supernatural things to move mountains, or just move the U.S. Postal Service, which is almost like a mountain to be moved. But anyway, they're just waiting on one document in the mail to get to the buyer of our house so we can close on our house in Griffin. So just be praying for us. We're kind of displaced currently. We've been living in a very generous family in the community has allowed us to live in a home on their property for the last week. We are moving into another church member's home this afternoon. We will stay there hopefully only a few more days until we can move into our permanent residence here in Griffin. So if we look a little crazy, it's because we probably are. If I get a little emotional, it's because, man, it's been an overwhelming week. Y'all can imagine. So, see, I'm getting it right there. It's just been, this is why I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to preach and then get out of here. But it's just been a long week, okay? Y'all can imagine. So please be praying that everything worked out just in the next 48 hours. It would be fantastic. We're trusting God through this process. It's just rough. It's been kind of rough. So anyway, all that said, thank you for y'all's prayers. Thank you guys for offering. A lot of you guys have offered us to come stay at your house. Trust me, you couldn't handle that right now, the mania that's going on in our lives. You don't want that in your house. So we do have another place to stay. So we will be moving in there later today. So thank you guys. Keep praying. Awesome. Appreciate and love you guys. We look forward to getting moved here, whatever that day is. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to jump in this morning. We're continuing in our series, and thank you, Travis, for preaching last week for me, last Sunday morning. I have heard so many powerful words of encouragement, and just what a great message that was last Sunday morning about prayer. And remember, we are in the middle of this series called Anointed, and I want you to remember, we are talking about life, the anointed life on this side of the cross, the anointed life, the Spirit-filled life on this side of Jesus' ascension into heaven. What happened when the Holy Spirit has fallen on the church? And we're still kind of laying some foundation for the church. We're not going to rush through and hit one quick point from every chapter and say we're done with the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, I'm only going to make maybe one or two references to the book of Acts this morning, because we're laying a foundation. We're making sure that we fully understand and are asking God to equip us and give us knowledge and understanding about how His presence, how the Holy Spirit wants to move in the life of the church here at Devotee, how the Holy Spirit's desire is to move in the corporate body of Christ, not just in Griffin, Spalding County, the state of Georgia, the United States, around the world, that God has a desire that there be a fresh anointing, a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in the body of believers who comprise the church today. And that's indeed what we've been talking about over the last several weeks, that what Travis mentioned last week, that we should be praying earnestly for a fresh move and a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we're looking at over the last several weeks. That's what we will continue looking at this summer, is asking God to do something in our midst, asking God to do something and move in a freshness and in a powerful anointing in our families, in our personal lives, in the life of our church corporately, that we would be able to accomplish things for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, for the glory of the kingdom, that we otherwise would not be able to accomplish unless it was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen, church? That's what we're praying, right? That's what we're praying. That's what we desire. So we've been talking about this relationship. And today, we're continuing to talk about the anointed life. And today, we're talking about unwrapping the spiritual gifts and beginning to understand and gain a broader understanding of the move of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the unwrapping of spiritual gifts in the life of the church. And the reality is, we cannot experience any of the incredible gifts of God until we first invite Jesus Christ into our lives and receive salvation, forgiveness, and relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. We'll never operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit until we first have received the Son as personal Lord and Savior. And that's a big thing. So many people over my years of ministry have said, "Pastor, I don't really feel like the Spirit of God's moving in my life." And I begin talking about evidences of the Holy Spirit, and people have actually made this statement, "Well, I've never felt that. I've never experienced that." And I'll always go back to the very simple question: have you surrendered yourself? Have you by faith placed your total trust, everything that you are, by faith believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that He is the Lord of your life, that He is Savior, that He truly gave Himself on the cross, that you pledged from that day forward? And so many people time and again have said, "You know, I understand who Jesus is. I believe the stories, but I've never truly received Him as personal Lord and Savior." And you see, that's the starting point. That's the starting point. You'll never experience the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit until you receive the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's reality. That's the truth. You know, it's interesting. 2 Corinthians, and I apologize. I did not give you guys fill-in-the-blank sermon notes today. We are going to be shooting some things up on the board, so get your little blank sheet of paper out. Everybody get your blank sheet of paper out. It's in your worship guide this morning. You got it? Grab your pen. Get that out. We're going to be looking, and here's the thing. You know how every once in a while I will forget to give you guys a fill-in-the-blank, and some of you guys get really twisted about that? Well, that sheet's blank today, so you won't know if I forget one. So we'll just skip it on the board. How about that? There you go. You won't be all upset. But 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Be with all of you. And you see, this is the foundation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is a fellowship with, a relationship with God, the person, God, Jesus being the Son, and also the Holy Spirit. It all hinges upon personal relationship. It all hinges upon fellowship. And we've talked, there are a lot of teachings today on the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of misunderstandings of the Holy Spirit. So what we want to talk about this morning, and I'm going to give you three very simple things. We're going to give you two really quick, and then we're going to focus and dig in a little bit deeper on the third. But we're going to talk first of all about three gifts. This morning, we're going to talk about three gifts. You say, "Well, what are the gifts?" And these gifts have to go in order. The first gift that we need to receive is the gift of eternal life. Folks, listen, the great responsibility that we have as the body of Christ today is to communicate to a lost and dying world that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. It's only through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's only through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first gift. So we have to come to this understanding that there is this sin debt that we have to pay, that we're committed. We have this incredible debt, but God paid for our sin debt through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first gift that we have to understand. And it's a gift that we have to really celebrate every single day, to wake up every morning with this fresh understanding of the freedom that we have through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first gift. Now, it's always interesting to me. It'll happen again during this next Christmas season coming up. It happens every year. Some celebrity is going to walk into some Walmarts somewhere around the country and will pay off everybody's layaway. Y'all know it? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. We see that on social media. It makes its way onto the news. Oh, how exciting. Dwayne The Rock Johnson paid off everybody's layaway at the Walmarts in wherever. And they're like, oh, praise him, pray. What a great guy. But we do that all the time. You know, and then here's the thing. I mean, P. Diddy paid off everybody's layaways up in so-and-so in New Jersey or whatever. And we, oh, he's so great. I'd like to download some of his songs. You're like, who would he? You know, but you know, here's the thing. You know, we celebrate these physical or financial acts of people in our generation today and in our culture today. But then every single morning, we should wake up with the realization that God has paid our sin debt in full and given us eternal life. And we take that for granted. We take that for granted. So what we have to do is reclaim this understanding, reclaim this attitude of celebration, reclaim this complete understanding that we have had our debt paid once and for all through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the first and forever sacrifice. We know Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the what? Oh, let me back up the truck. It says very clearly, the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift. But is it up there? Yeah. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he's talking about this gift that we've got to first receive through Jesus Christ. And then there's this second gift. This second gift, and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's an understanding that because tied in with our personal salvation, there's this gift of salvation. There is this gift of forgiveness. There is this gift of personal relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first gift. And then tied to the first gift is this second gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the second gift is the Holy Spirit. After salvation, or at the point or the moment of salvation, we have to understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not a heaven and hell gift. That's what Jesus Christ settled for us on the cross. Understand that. When we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a gift between heaven and hell. We're not talking about a salvation gift. We're not talking about a cancellation of our sin debt kind of gift. We're talking about the gift of the indwelling of the person and the power, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. And the Word of God even tells us, if you go back, we said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 1, it says, while he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What he was saying was, you have already received a gift through my person. You've already received a gift, but something is now coming. Now understand this. This separate gift has a separate purpose. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live life here on this earth, empowered so that we might fulfill the purpose of God the Father. Amen? We all have purposes, and that's to do the same thing that Jesus did, to lift up the name of God the Father, to direct people to God the Father. The Holy Spirit's role was to direct people and exalt the Son, Jesus Christ. So with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, church, we have this responsibility to continually, through the empowering of the presence of the Holy Spirit, direct people, point them to Jesus. That's the role and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We overlook that responsibility, right? It's a hard thing for us to do. But when we hear, and here's the thing, and that happens at the moment of salvation. There, you know, Jesus told his disciples, look, you guys, you've believed in me. He said, but if you'll just hang out for a little bit, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you'll just hang out for a few days, then the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you. But this is something that we have to understand. In our generation, in this age after Christ, what we have to understand is we don't accept Jesus and then hang around for a few days waiting for something to happen. We don't hang out for a few days thinking, well, maybe in a couple days the Holy Spirit's going to move in my life. We don't hang out for a few days or have this encounter, like a close encounter of the third kind. That's not how it works. The Word of God makes very clear to us, and jot this down, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this, when you heard the message of truth, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? He says, when you believed in him, believed in who? Jesus. When you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Well, what is Paul teaching to the church at Ephesus? He's saying the moment that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you were sealed by the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your life. He is the down payment, Paul says. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. What's Paul saying? He's saying, look, if you're living under the anointing, if you're allowing yourself to have faith in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to come and take up residence in your life. You're going to start operating through the power and the presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he says, look, this is just a down payment. It's just a down payment of what you're going to experience in fullness in eternity. Amen, church? It's exciting stuff. I mean, you're just like, wait, what are you talking about? We're talking about theology. We're talking about understanding the truth about the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, we've got to understand that and operate in that. There's a separate person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He has a separate purpose. Now, but there's a third gift. We don't want to lack an understanding. There's a third gift that we're going to talk about today. And this is what we're going to drill down on for just a little bit this morning with the time that we have left. And we're going to be talking about this third gift because we tend to get really nervous when we hear the word charisma or charismatic. And we talked about that during our first couple of weeks, that we have this misunderstanding. For some people, it's like this warning sign. You use the word charismatic, and we say, well, wait a minute, what is that talking about? Is that talking about handling snakes in church? It could be. I would be very charismatic if you brought a snake box out today. Amen, church? Rob, will you get it out of the back? Just bring it on down. You know, people are like, wait a minute, what? You know, that's not what it's talking about. I asked somebody once, I said, tell me about what's going on in this church. There was a church several years ago that was just growing and people were giving their lives to Christ. And I said, hey, tell me about that church. What's going on? And he said, oh, preacher, it's a charismatic church. And I thought, wow, you know, here's what the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts. Because the word charismatic is not a derogatory word. In Scripture. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. The word charisma or charis, charismatic, the derivation of that, it's not a bad word when you read it in Scripture, nor should it be a bad word when you talk about the life of the church today being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because we have twisted what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit into something that has nothing to do with what Scripture intended for the church in our generation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the third gift that we're going to talk about this morning is spiritual gifts. And this is just, we're just skimming the surface. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, if you're taking notes, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, the word gifts in the Greek is the word charis, okay? It's where we get the word charisma, the root word or foundation of the word charismatic. It literally means, catch this, it literally means grace gift. It literally means grace gift. It talks about being a gift that has been given to us by God because of His grace, because of His love for us. So when you walk out of Devotee Baptist Church on this particular Sunday, you go out and say, do you know what we are? People say, what kind of church is Devotee? You say, we're a charismatic church. And they'll say, really? What's that? I heard y'all got a new preacher. You know? And then you say, well, let me explain what that means. That means that we're operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and our desire is to receive all of the grace gifts that God desires to pour out on the life of the church. Amen? Guys, are we all tracking together? Say, we got it, preacher. Everybody? At least look at me, all right? So look up here and say, we got it. Does it mean we're going to handle snakes next week? Maybe. No. Depends on if they get loose in the church. Anyway, I was going to sing a song. But anyway, here's about a squirrel in Mississippi. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that could also cause revival to break loose. So there's been a lot of confusion then about gifts. We talk about charismatics and we talk about charisma. We talk about charis or charis. What we have to understand is the scripture is literally talking about the fact that His desire is to fill the church, to fill, anoint the body of the church with these gifts that allow us to operate in power and the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, God in the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about this morning is that we want to do away with confusion. I love in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture says that the word, God doesn't want us to have this lack of understanding about spiritual gifts. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. Does anybody else have a different word for unaware? One other translation, and this is actually my favorite way to translate this passage, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Does anybody's verse say ignorant? I love that translation. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Has anybody ever used that word ignorant? Has anybody ever called you ignorant? You know, I was listening to a teacher who was a comedian the other day, and he said he almost got in a fight with a parent several years ago. He said this dad showed up at school one morning. He got called to the office, said, Mr. So-and-so, will you come to the office? He said he got all the way down the office, and the guy was standing there. He said, did you call my daughter stupid? He said, I didn't call your daughter stupid. I asked her if she was stupid. And here's the thing that we have to ask ourselves. You know, preacher, are you calling us ignorant? No, I'm asking you. Are you ignorant? You know, and this is what the Word of God says. Are you ignorant about the Holy Spirit? Are you ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit? About spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. About spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to understand spiritual giftedness. You know, if you have that word unaware in your scripture or ignorant, just underline it. If it says unaware, write out in the margin, say ignorant. And then you might want to say, I don't want to be ignorant about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. So ignorant people do whatever it takes to look intelligent, but they know nothing, right? Does anybody know any ignorant people? Say amen. Are they sitting close to you? Don't look at them. We you know, what's that old phrase that says that it'd be better to, I'm gonna look ignorant. It says it's better not to speak, but don't open your mouth and remove all doubt. Thank you. See, I was ignorant there for a second. It left me. I had it in my head. It's better to have people think that you're stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? We all have heard that phrase, right? And that's so true. So what we do in church, is we come to church and we have this general thought about spiritual giftedness. we have this general understanding, well, I need to be operating in the spiritual gifts, but I don't really understand them, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm just going to pretend that I understand what I'm talking about. You know, and God doesn't want us to fake it. You see, being ignorant is a choice. Being ignorant is a choice. You make a decision not to understand spiritual gifts. You make a decision as an individual not to operate in the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We make that choice. Now, the church is drying up today in our generation because so many people are trying to look spiritually wise and they have no clue what they're talking about. We're not walking in a full experience of the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we're faking it. I mean, we need Spirit-filled members in the body of Christ who are hungry for and feeding on the Word of God, feeding on the knowledge of God, and operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we desperately need in the church today. Amen? Amen. That's what this church needs. That's what your family needs. They need you, mom and dad, operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your kids, your grandkids, your extended family, they need to see that we are operating under the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills." Distributing what? What's He distributing? Gifts. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about what? Yes. It's not ifs, it's gifts. You know, we've got to understand these gifts. And then He's distributing these gifts. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn in your Bibles real quick. 1 Corinthians 12. And if you jump back to the beginning of this chapter in verse 4, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. Verse 7, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit or by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of languages. To another, interpretation of the languages. But look a little further in this chapter, and Paul is continuing to talk about not only the importance of spiritual gifts, but he talks about the individuals in the body of Christ using their spiritual gifts. Verse 12, as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, so the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, verse 18, God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 21, so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. Now, if I were to say, what do you think is the weakest part of your entire body? If you pondered it for a little bit, you'd say, well, what can I do without? You know, what part of my body could I just say, if I lost that today, no big deal. I've had a lot of people say, well, if I could probably live, it'd be easy to live without my pinky toe. Anybody here not have your pinky toe? I just want to make sure before I went on with this illustration. I'm going to share with you this principle of the pinky toe. People say, well, I could do without my pinky toe. If you were to cut off your pinky toe, there's an interesting scientific truth that your pinky toe has, I can't remember how many nerve endings end in your pinky toe that send nerve stimulus all the way up to your brain. And if you were to lose, and it basically, whenever you feel yourself getting a little off balance, you begin to put a little bit more pressure on the outside of your foot onto your pinky toe. Whenever I step over here, I begin to sense that there's nothing out there beyond my foot. And my pinky toe says, back it up! You know, and I was like, and you've probably seen me do this a couple of times. So I back it up because my pinky toe, these nerve sensories begin to trigger things in my brain and the synapses in my brain. They say, back up, you're about to fall over and look like an idiot today. You're going to look ignorant. So anyway, then the whole thing is, if you cut off your pinky toe, all of these sensory perceptions from these nerve endings in this little pinky that you said I can do without that no longer are being sent to your brain, and you begin to have more of an opportunity to be off balance. You say, what in the world does that have to do with spiritual gifts? What it has to do is with the person who's sitting on the pew in church on Sunday morning that says, I'm just here taking up space because this is what I do, and it really wouldn't matter if I wasn't here. It really wouldn't matter because surely somebody else will take up the slack in doing the things that need to be done inside the body of believers. But what I want you to understand is you are more important than a pinky toe in the life of the body. Even if when you have received the Spirit, you have received and been empowered with certain spiritual gifts. And what this whole passage of Scripture that I just took the time to read is communicating to the life of the church is that every single person in this body is important to the healthy life or the healthy outpouring of the Spirit, the healthy work and ministry of the body of believers here at Devotee Baptist Church. And if you don't do your job, then we're going to be walking around as if someone has cut off our pinky toe, out of balance and off kilter, and never fully effective in doing what God's called us to do. So does anybody want to raise your hand and say you're not important to the life of the church? You are. Every single one of us. Now, what impacts the life of the church is when one part of the body doesn't do what it's supposed to do. You ever had something in a cast? Ever walked around with a cast on your arm or a boot on your foot? That's happened in our church family over the last several weeks. It's uncomfortable. It's hard to operate. And that's the thing that we have to understand. So he goes on. Man, it's 12 o'clock. All right, here's the thing. You've got to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. I can get through this really quick. Do y'all want to watch me? His gifts are unique. Number one, write this down about spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique. There's nobody else who is gifted the way you are, that has the talents, the personality, the way that you do. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 said, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries, but the same Lord. And God activates all of these different gifts in each person. So they're unique spiritual gifts. You know, I used to watch some of these movies. How many of you guys have ever gone to watch one of these Marvel movies, one of these superhero movies? And y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have sat there in the middle of watching these movies about Batman and Superman and Spider-Man? And you know that you've done it. I don't care how young or how old you are. You know that you've sat there watching a movie about a superhero, and in the back of your head, you've said, what? I wish I could do that. And then you pick out what superpower you wish you had, right? I wish I could fly. How many of y'all wish you could fly? I mean, y'all are lying. Everybody wants to fly. I mean, everybody wants to fly. I mean, I want to fly. You know, I mean, I want to have those laser beam eyes that super, you know, I want to, every once in a while, it would be cool to be able to shoot a web and just go shoo over on the side of the wall just to see if you were reading your phone while I'm preaching. You know, shoom, shoom, I'm looking down on you. Hey, you're looking at where to go to eat in about 5 minutes. Stop that. And then I shoot a web down and shoom, take your phone away. That'd be a really cool superpower. You know, when I was a kid, I'm talking about like 8 or 9. I'm not talking any older than that, okay? I had these red underwear, okay? I may or may not have red underwear now, but I'm just saying, when I was 8 or 9, I had these red underwear. You know what tidy whities are, right? These are tidy reddies. But anyway, I had these red underwear, Pastor Brother Ralph, and I would wear these, and I would pretend I was, who else wore red underwear in the movies? Superman. He's wearing red underwear out and about. That's kind of weird. So I thought, why not wear them around the house? And I would wear my red underwear around the house. I promise you, I was 8, maybe 7. I don't know. Maybe 12. But anyway, and I would wear my red underwear around the house, and I would get this big red towel that my mom had, and I would pin it around my neck, and I would stand up on this bar stool that we had in our house at the little dining area, and I would stand up there, and I would swivel a little bit, you know? And then all of a sudden, I would jump off, and for a moment, I was Superman. It was glorious until my fat little body hit the ground, and it was, you know, it was all off. But what I was really doing was I was faking that I was operating under the same superpower that Superman had. As long as I had on the red underwear, a little Wrangler. I used to wear Huskies, Brother Ralph, you know what I mean? It was really attractive when I was 8 and wore Huskies, but I had my red underwear, my little belly would stick out. So cute. Which would kind of be what would happen today if I wore it. But anyway, but you know, my little belly hung out. I had my little red towel on, and I was just acting the part. But see, what I want to tell you this morning is God desires not that we just put on some spiritual outfit to come to church and look like we're operating under the anointing of the Spirit. You see, we have become gifted at faking it. You know what I'm saying? God doesn't desire for the church to fake the anointing of the Spirit. God doesn't want us to fake that we are truly empowered and obedient and surrendered and submissive to the person of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to fake that. He doesn't want us to have momentary glimpses of glory when we come to church on Sunday. You hear what I'm saying? God wants us to be continually... You say, hey, I would like a superpower. I'd like to be able to fly. I would like to be able to do this. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be anointed. God wants us to be the hands and feet of Christ. God wants us to have the supernatural empowered voices to speak about the love that He has for us that was demonstrated through the cross of Jesus Christ and that is available for people that are lost and dying today so that they can experience His power as well. That's the calling of the church, that we would stop faking it and start living under the anointing. So here's what I want us to talk about. Here's how we want to end this morning. And it's a challenge that goes on beyond this hour. It's that we would begin to pray, God, we desire to see You operating in the fullness of power and the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit in the life of this church. In my life. In the life of my family. God, that we don't want to fake it. We don't want to look spiritual. We want to live anointed. You know what looking spiritual really means? Hypocritical. Right? We don't want to look spiritual. We want to be anointed. We want to be operating through the anointing, surrendered and submissive to the person of the Holy Spirit, operating in obedience. And that should be the prayer of the church. So here's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I faking it? Or am I operating under the full anointing of the Spirit? That's your question. I can't answer it for you. Am I faking it? Am I playing church? Am I putting on a Christian show at certain times when it's convenient? Or am I completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit? God desires for me to have not a superpower, but a supernatural anointing and giftedness. And He wants you to use it in the life of the church. You can never experience that until first you give your life completely to the person of Jesus Christ. That's the gift of eternal life you have to receive. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit the moment you accept Jesus. And then you begin operating and growing in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to pray right now. You would just begin to speak to us. You would just begin to move in this place. God, I pray that You would just begin to call us from a place of just faking it to a place of being real, being anointed. And I want to pray that Your Spirit would just begin speaking to us right now. There might be some person, maybe one person, in this sanctuary this morning, they've never experienced the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Father God, I just want to pray right now that you would speak a word to them. It doesn't even matter if they've been in this church or some other church for a number of years. They've never completely placed their true faith, surrendered to the cross of Jesus Christ. And maybe right now, if that's you, you just begin to pray, dear God, I've been faking that. I've even been faking that I have the first gift of eternal life. And this day, at this moment, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for playing a part. And God, I just pray right now, I'm speaking to you a word of covenant that I place my complete trust in the person of Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that He died on a cross for me, and from this day forward, I want to live for Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, Pastor, I understand. I've heard about spiritual gifts. I know that I have some, but I've not been putting them to use in the life of the kingdom, in the ministry of this body of believers here at Devotee. Maybe you just pray this prayer. Dear God, please forgive me for the past when I've overlooked my responsibility and my calling, when I've not used the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for the ministry of your kingdom. And from this day forward, God, use me. Seal me with the anointing of your Spirit, God, and begin to direct me how you want me to serve. Let me experience and exercise all of the gifts that you've given me for the glory of your Son, Jesus. God, just pour out your Spirit. Hey, look up here real quick. We're going to sing one quick song. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. God, you'll never experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You'll never experience the full blessing and move of the Holy Spirit until you first surrender yourself by faith, accepting Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Church, we will never experience the true outpouring of the Spirit in this church body until we all begin to operate under the anointing of the Spirit and begin to put our hands to the plow, serving, finding our place of service and ministry here. And then God will work in ways that are beyond our dreams and visions. Amen. How you respond today, if you need to give your life to Christ, if you just want to come to this altar as an act of surrender, however the Spirit of God leads you, do it right now as we sing. Let's stand.
Our Father, always
church. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each and every one of you here in God's house this morning. Please don't forget, be back this evening just to pray God's anointing over this church property, as we will have a lot of kids coming in here just praying that God's Spirit would move in their sweet lives this week, that they would hear the truth of God's love for them and learn how to live for Him at a tender young age. Amen. And pray for some of our old folks this week, as they're going to be serving in Vacation Bible School, right? Listen, we got a lot of folks from 20s all the way up to 60s, and I think even some folks in their 70s. And I'm just speaking for a guy that just turned 51. Listen, my old body needs some help every day this week, amen? So you be praying for everybody serving, all the kids coming. We're just praying that God's going to be glorified. Don't forget, right after we're dismissed, if you want to play some co-ed kickball this summer, meet Micah right down front. Listen, guys, have an awesome Sunday afternoon. God bless. Have a great day.